You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovan. I am pleased to be joined by Rhett Bollinger. And the Twins just keep on keeping on in that AL Central race. Royals have created a little bit of a distance there, but hey, the Twins are the only other team in the Central with a winning record. And that's something a lot of us did not expect going into the year. And frankly, we're deep enough into the year that, the bloom is not off the rose. It's a good thing for the Twins right now. Rhett, just give me the general state of the team, coming out of the break and still very much remaining in at least that wild card mix.
Yeah, absolutely. They had a nice start to, nice finish to the first half there, winning 6-7. Crazy comeback win against the Tigers and swept the Orioles. Had kind of a rough series here in Oakland. Had a kind of a game that they came back and scored 2 runs in the ninth, and they ended up losing it anyway in extras, and then a big beatdown on Sunday. But otherwise, they still have won 7-10. They put themselves in good shape going forward. You're right. It's like they haven't been in contention since 2010, and definitely a big surprise. But they set themselves up pretty well now. Irvin Santana looked very good in his last start, which is a good sign because he's going to be counted on for the second half. The rotation outside of, a poor start out at Tommy Malone has otherwise been good, has been holding up really well. So I think that's kind of going to be the key. If the rotation can keep it up, obviously, if they can continue to get big offensive contributions from guys like Trevor Plouffe and Joe Mauer and obviously Brian Dozier, their all-star. Miguel Sano, once we kind of find out a little bit more about his ankle injury.
Yeah, you mentioned Sano's injury, and that's one of those, if you're a snake bit team and a guy steps on a baseball during BP, he could be out for the rest of the season, but they've had some good fortune this year, I guess, overall. And Sano, from the sound of things, it doesn't sound like that's going to be a DL situation, or at least as we sit here today, it sounds like it's just a few days. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. So this will only be about 3 to 5 days. Got a little lucky there, but one of those unfortunate things here where total fluke thing. He's taking some ground balls at first, and Eddie Rosario rips the ball down the line. It hits off the protective screen over there behind first base, and it ends up behind Sano, and he doesn't see it because it's hard for him to know that ball hit that screen, and he backs up and steps on the ball, and sure enough, rolls his ankle. But the good thing was because of that, it wasn't like he was running and slipped or anything. He just kind of stepped on it and kind of rolled his ankle over a little bit. And when I talked to him on Sunday, his ankle wasn't really even swollen, which is a good thing. The test kind of showed he didn't really need x-rays or an MRI or anything. So I think their hope is that it's definitely a minor thing, just a couple of days. And for now, it's not really a DL thing. If that's the case, you can kind of get by it just using guys like, Torrey Hunter or Joe Mauer to kind of get a day off. So in some ways, it's not too big of a deal. It's only going to be for, this Anaheim series. But at the same time, he's been a huge part of that offense so far. This has been called up.
Yes. Yeah. It's been an instant impact there. And, him and Brian Dozier, obviously Dozier's been doing it all year. Dozier did it again in the All-Star game, hit a home run in his first All-Star game at bat. And that just kind of goes with his season in general, Rhett. He's really had a power spike. Had a really nice season last year. But this year, he's already got 20 home runs, 27 doubles. What would you say is the key to the power surge this season from Dozier?
Well, I think with Dozier, it's definitely a surprise in the last couple of years. I mean, looking at his minor league career, I think his high in home runs in a season in the minors is like 8 home runs. He was definitely a guy that got on base a lot and was kind of like a leadoff type guy and a good defender coming up as a shortstop, actually, and sure enough, switches to second, and now all of a sudden he's showing off all his power the last few years. I mean, last year, too, it's kind of the first year we really saw a spike, and he was in the home run derby. But this year, like you said, he's already up to 20 home runs, which, especially as a leadoff hitter, is pretty rare. The big thing for him is he just loves high fastballs. Is able to pull them down the line and hit a lot of home runs to left field. I think he's only got one career home run to kind of the center or right center, and that came this year in Pittsburgh. But otherwise, especially at Target Field, much of a big ballpark, it is a little bit easier to hit the ball to left field there. We saw guys like Josh Willingham, and even Plouffe had some nice years with home runs because you can kind of pull the ball down the line there a little bit. And he's done that, kind of taking advantage of that where he just gets kind of fastballs or breaking balls up in the zone. Was able to pull it in the left. It's kind of like what he did in the All-Star game. That week in general was pretty incredible for him because, he had 2 walk-off home runs that week, and he had a go-ahead home run on that Wednesday, and then all of a sudden he hit a home run in the game. So it was just a crazy week for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that was the question with Dozier going into the year was, can he go opposite field a little more frequently and just to maintain his production pace? But like you say, right, he really hasn't needed to. He's He's done a lot of damage from the pull side. A guy they need to do some damage here in the second half, and he performed pretty well going into the break, which was encouraging, is Joe Mauer. We don't expect him to be the MVP he once was, but certainly, you know, I label him a big X factor for that club, as it does look to secure a playoff spot here in the second half. What's the read on Mauer here?
It's been a really interesting season because if you look at his overall numbers, they're definitely down again. They're not too much different than last year. But for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, his numbers with runners on base and runners in scoring position are through the roof. I mean, he's been coming through in big clutch situations. The other night in their loss to Oakland, you know, they have two guys on and he hits a double off the wall to bring in the tying run, and then Sano got the go-ahead sacrifice fly. And then missed the home run, you know, yesterday in Oakland as well. So he's pulling the ball a little bit more, which is a good sign. And he definitely looked a lot better going into the break, and so far he's kind of kept it up, you know, early, obviously in that series against Oakland. But, yeah, so if you look at his overall numbers, they're not as great, but his RBI totals are definitely high because he's done so well with runners on. It's almost like he turns into a different hitter. Like, with nobody on, he hasn't been very good at all, especially for a first baseman. But as soon as they get guys on, he's able to drive them in. So it's one of the things I think they'd like to see. Obviously, that continue with guys on base, but some of that you never know if it's just kind of luck or just what it is. So I think they just need to get a big second half from him. And the way he looked kind of going into the break is certainly, you know, capable of that. We know his history. But as of right now, you look at that overall stat line and the overall, you know, batting average and everything else, it really isn't that much different than last year, which is definitely an issue now that he's a first baseman and not a catcher anymore.
While the team was in Oakland, they celebrated Torii Hunter's 40th birthday in style. Some nice gag gifts there for Torii. I saw Walker. What were some of the other gifts there, Rhett? They were loading up pretty well.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. So that day we came into the clubhouse, and I think Casey Fien was a reliever. He was kind of behind a lot of it. But we go into the clubhouse, and sure enough, they switched his chair for a walker that was one that you could kind of spin around. And it was pretty funny. And within the walker, there's a little, like, couch-type thing, and there was a bunch of adult diapers in there. So those are kind of the two main ones, which was pretty hilarious. So he was kind of showing us all his new walker and going around the clubhouse and spinning it around and showing us how to use it and all that. And he was sitting on it in front of his chair throughout the whole pregame. And even, you know, I don't know, he tried on the diaper. I don't know if I want to ever see that again, but he did try that on for his teammates. But it was pretty hilarious. Obviously, he's a, you know, great clubhouse guy in there, and they had a lot of fun with him. And, you know, he had a hit in that game and 2 hits before that, and he still stayed productive in his 40s. And it sounds like from talking to him that he's starting to lean a little bit toward coming back next year, too, with the production he's had. But yeah. Either way, like you said, it's going to be with the Twins.
Well, that's great. You know, I'm, you know, like most people in our business, always love dealing with Torii Hunter. Glad to see him in a place where he's happy and still productive. And you just don't see, especially in today's game, it's so hard to have that longevity, that durability. What's been the key to keeping him fresh this season? I know he's had his fair number of designated hitter days, I guess, working with Molitor to make sure he's on a good schedule there.
Yeah, I think it helps that, obviously, that Paul Molitor is his manager. I mean, Paul Molitor's career, he played until he was 42, and Molitor always likes to tell us that his year that he turned 40, Molitor played 161 games. A lot of it was because he was pretty much a permanent DH, but at least he kind of knows what goes into kind of staying fresh in your 40s and that kind of thing. So I think the big thing for them is just finding days off for Hunter here and there. And you're right, obviously, finding DH days, which have been a little tougher to come by recently just because, you know, Miguel Sano's taken over as the full-time DH. But with Sano out now, they can kind of at least give Torii some of these DH days to kind of rest. He kind of fights it, but I think he knows that missing time early, you know, will help him in terms of staying fresh late in the season, especially if they're going to be in the, you know, that wild card hunt or even the division hunt late in the season where he's going to want to probably play every day just because the Twins need to bat in the lineup. It's just kind of one of those things where I think Mauer and him kind of have a plan and talk about it. Mauer gives him maybe a couple days off a week here and there. And matchup-wise, too, kind of tougher matchups, maybe give him a break. I mean, they've got enough, you know, outfielders right now where they can kind of mix and match. So that's kind of the big thing. And so far, it's definitely worked to perfection for the Twins with Hunter this year.
Rhett, last thing here. Give me the outlook for this club at the trade deadline. I know they're looking for a bullpen arm and maybe a bat. You know, they have some rotation depth now. That took a little bit of hit with the Ricky Nolasco injury, of course, but and Irvin Santana coming back helps that. But, you know, I don't know if that's something they would parlay into some help elsewhere, or I guess just in general, how aggressive do you expect this team to be here before July 31st?
it's going to be interesting to monitor. I mean, I don't think they're going to be super aggressive only because they weren't a team that was supposed to compete anyway. You know, it looked like this was a team that was, you know, it's only a piece or two away from the World Series. This is a team that kind of has surprised people. And even if they were to make it, you know, there are some holes in this team. But they have a lot of prospects coming up. They can fill those. So I think they don't really want to dip too far into their prospect pool and kind of sacrifice their future just for winning today, considering they said they weren't supposed to really compete this year anyway. So I think if they were to trade for anyone, it would probably be try to get guys that maybe have more years of control than just this year, and more than just a short-term rental. Definitely bullpen help is number one on the list, maybe a lefty reliever especially. Aaron Thompson is kind of the primary lefty, and now he's down in the minors. Dunsing and Ryan Rourke have been pretty good recently, but I think a lefty reliever would be high on their list, and maybe even just a top setup guy. Boyer and Fiend have kind of struggled a little bit recently. And bat-wise, their two biggest holes right now are at catcher and at shortstop. But it might be tough to acquire either one of those, especially if a top one, like a primary one. I don't think the Twins are going to kind of break the bank and go after like a Jonathan Lucroy at catcher, or, you know, even a Segura or whoever at shortstop, or a Tulowitzki. That kind of thing would just really shock me. I could see them maybe acquiring like a backup type catcher to kind of complement and split time with Suzuki, who struggled this year. But more than anything, I think they'll probably add a bullpen arm. And as for the starting pitching depth, there's a chance, but at the same time, because Pelfrey is a guy that's in his last year of his contract, so he'd probably be the most likely. But at the same time, I think they like having that depth, because knowing that Velasco's out for as long as he's going to be, and they have May in the bullpen, that if anything were to happen to any one of their starters, or if Tommy Malone, you know, he obviously just had the one bad start, he's been great otherwise, but if he were to, you know, struggle, or any of these guys were to struggle, they'd have May to kind of plug in there. I think they like having that depth for now. So I'd kind of be surprised too if they dealt from that. They do have Jose Berrios at AAA, so they have some depth for sure. But I think more than anything, I think they're going to target a reliever or two before the deadline.
And that might be enough. And the bullpen, of course, has been a huge separator for them, locking down leads. But it could use another arm. I think that's pretty clear. And so, yeah, we'll see if they address that, and we'll see if they can hold on. It's been a very interesting season so far for the Twins, much more interesting than a lot of us gave them credit for going in. And we'll see if they can keep it up here in the second half. I want to thank Rhett Bollinger for joining us to talk about all that. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.